Blog Talk Radio.
I am a human. Now haven't I suffered for so long? Still the reason for hope. Keep on holding on. I am a human. Well, I am a child like her. And if you look into my eyes, deep down there's a light. I'm not a Christian. I'm not a Muslim. I'm not a Jew. It shouldn't matter to you. I'm not a capitalist. And I'm not a communist. I'm not a socialist. Not the politics. Tell me, are these the reasons you can't live right? I am a human, and haven't I suffered for too long? Still the reason for hope. Keep on holding on. I am a human. Yes, I am a child like her. And when you look into my eyes, deep down there's a light. I'm not a soldier, I'm not a jihadist, I'm not a Buddhist, I'm not a Hindu, I'm not a white, I am a who, I'm not black, and I'm not white. Tell me if this is why we fight. I've suffered for so long. Still the reason for hope. Keep on holding on. I am a human. Well, I am a child like her. And when you look into her eyes, deep down there's a I'm not a Muslim, I'm not a Jew, it shouldn't matter to you. Tell me, are these the reasons you can't live right? I am a human, and I have been suffering for too long. To the reason for hope, keep on holding on. I am a human. I like her. And if you look into my eyes, deep down there's a lie. I am a human. Now haven't I suffered for so long? Still the reason for who? Keep on holding on. I am a human. Well, I am a child like her. When you look into her eyes,
All right. Brother Cartrell and I, we are back. My name is Jamsu Fari. We are back to bring you your studies as far as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub is concerned. And certainly his studies as far as his people, his chosen people are concerned. And strangers, meaning different nations, to get a full, complete picture of the situation, the dynamics, to find out what code we can use in order to give us some relief or to alleviate from some of this suffering that we're inundated with. Certainly the case of Haiti and Gaza and so on and so forth. And it seems like Yah is judging the whole universe as we're studying on, Brother Cottrell and Yeshayahu. It seems like those judgment appears to be ongoing, certainly in this door of Babylon. It seems like judgments are ongoing, universally speaking. And therefore, wouldn't you want to know what's going on? Or do you simply want to stay in the dark, in the blind, simply totally confused and in a fearful state of mind about everything? It doesn't have to be that way if you put these studies to use. It works only if you work it. If you're simply inclined to put these studies on your mantle, in your dresser drawer, your nightstand, it's not going to work for you. They must be put into your innate nature, become second nature to you. They must be part of your ongoing up-and-coming status as a complete human being. King Darwin expresses this when things come upon him in his day-to-day existence. He expresses what course that you should take. Seek Yah first, then listen to what other folk got to say, then seek Yah again if you got to. But see, we're simply inclined to be physical people, seeing the physical component and not seeing the spiritual connection. That's why we don't have a relationship with the Elohim. We have to see the spiritual connection behind things. Things may look physical on the outside, but spiritually behind the scene, they're quite there. The Most High is quite there. You can be there also, but you must put these codes into action. They don't come by chance or happenstance. They come by a dedicated, a more obligated and duty-bound mindset to go to Yah, seek his consultation, and then put that consultation in. No matter what your friends, your mama, your brother, sister, anyone else may say, they're not the ones going to be judging anyone. Going to your friends, your mama, your sister, brother, daddy ain't going to make no never mind. What needs to be activated and put into place is your relationship with the Elohim. Praise and bless his holy name. That's what these studies we bring to you. Not only locally, nationally, and or internationally, it's universal. These studies should be universally applied to get the results you needed, what you need. Because if you look at it from a physical component, that's why we are what we are, because we are inundated with the studies of the door of Babylon. And we're putting that to work, and it's not working for us, it's working entirely against us. That's why you have the violence, the drug addiction, the alcohol addiction, the sexual misconduct, and so on and so forth. We're putting those into play, but we're not reaping any benefits because it's like Alcoholic Anonymous says, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. You're not going to get any more results than what you've been getting. You can run to California. You can run to New York City. You can run to Memphis, Tennessee. But if you don't change what you put in your suitcase, when you get there, it's going to be the same thing you're pulling out your suitcase that happened to you in New York City, California, Memphis, Tennessee, Haiti, and so on and so forth. You got to put some more tools in your suitcase. And we advise and suggest to you that you use the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. King Dawood was very expressive in having those in his suitcase. You need to be very expressive in having those in your suitcase. They work for you, not on you. Just like in the case of the daughter of Babylon, trying to do everything that they do. It ain't working for us. It ain't pretty. And it's working entirely against us. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Before I bring Brother Cottrell on from New York City, my friend and brother, I'd like to give praises and thanksgiving to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, just like King Dawood would have done. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. I'd like to thank the Most High for the air I breathe, the food I eat. I'd like to thank the Most High for the sun, the moon. I'd like to thank the Most High for the rain. I'd like to thank the Most High for whatever tools and fuels I got in my pocket. I'd like to thank the Most High for my health and the prospect of having my soul restored for his namesake. I'd like to thank the Most High for my tribe, my family, my tribe, all the other tribes and the nation. I'd like to thank the Most High for other nations. I'd like to thank the Most High for this radio platform that we bring the Most High word to you. I'd like to thank the Most High for the students that apply themselves to these studies. I'd like to thank the Most High for Brother Cottrell and his commitment to the Most High. Because if it wasn't for his commitment to the Most High, he wouldn't be here. It's true. I'd like to thank the Most High for everything, every component, every iota. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. So with that being said, let me bring my brother and friend on from New York City. Brother Cottrell, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Bless Yah, my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. All praise, honor, and glory to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, Brother Yah Suk. May the Most High bless you. Sister Nathania, all the family that's out there. How y'all doing? May the Most High bless you.
Doing okay. Doing okay, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing well, praise Yah.
Have you spoken to the wife since her travels have begun?
No.
Her travels? Okay.
She's good.
Okay. That's good. Okay. Your family's good. That's a good thing, brother. Praise Yah.
Yeah. All praises. All and like praises. You said, it's always good to give thanks to the Most High and to give him glory and honor for the works of his hand. And I thank you for everything that you thanked him for, my life, health and strength, my family, the nation, for you and this platform. So many things to be thankful for. And he knows my heart. So I thank him for all things and everything. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah, Brother Country. Praise Yah. Brother Country, do you have any more commentary? And we can wait. Otherwise, we're going to proceed right into our studies.
You touched on our makeup,
right?
In a different way. You talked about the spiritual. We're made up of mental, spiritual, and physical. And most of the world today is mental and physical, and we're bankrupt spiritually, which is why we read yesterday that the earth is going through it because of man's actions, man's deeds, man's ways. It's because of our spirituality, which we have very little of. So we're learning the spiritual part of how to connect with our Creator. And hopefully we get the message.
Praise God, brother. Hopefully we get the message.
Praise
God. That's what it's all about. Brother Country, I said a mouthful, and it's a good mouthful. We're over inundated with the mental and the physical, but we're morally bankrupt when it comes to the spiritual. And therein lies our dilemma. And that's why we need to get these codes right and corrected. Praise God. So, Brother Cottrell, fellow students, we're ready to proceed. Turn to chapter 24 of 1 Samuel. You call it Samuel. 1 Samuel, chapter 24. King David spares King Saul's life. So you were a type of... I mean, when we go into these studies, take a look around while we're studying. It's just like going into a museum or going to someone's home you've never been to. While you're in there, take a look around. See the dynamic of what's playing out here. See the dynamic of King Saul. See the dynamic of King David. See the dynamic of his men. See the dynamic of the Elohim. Take a look around. This is a run through. Take an opportunity to immerse yourself in these studies. What we're getting to. Now, it happened when King Saul had returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, always snitching, as Cottrell said, take note, King David is in the wilderness in Gedi. Then King Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to see King David and his men on the rock of the wild goats. So he came to the sheepfold by the road where there was a cave. And King Saul went in to attend to his need to relieve himself. I think to take a boo-boo. Okay? King David and his men were staying in the recesses of it. They were way in the back of the cave. Then the men of King David said to him, this is the day which Yah said to you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand. This, you got him now, King. You got him that you may do to him as it seems good to you. Here's King David's response. And King David arose and secretly cut off a corner of King Saul's robe. Like I said, I think he was boo-booing. Arose, secretly cut off the corner of King Saul's robe. Now it happened afterward that King David's heart troubled him because he had cut King Saul's robe. It troubled him even to that degree. And he said to his men, Yah forbid that I should do this thing to my master. He was a humble brother. Look at it. And Yah, and he's Yah's anointed. Yah anointed him. I got to respect the code. He's Yah's anointed. To stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is anointed of Yah. I can't do that. So King David restrained his servants with these words. He didn't physically assault them. He restrained them with words. The words are important. And did not allow them to rise against, because they want to put the metal to the pedal on the king. And King Saul got up from the cave and went on his way. King David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and He called out to King Saul, saying, "My Lord, the king." King Saul looked behind him. King David stooped with his face and he humbled himself to the earth and bowed down. And King David said to King Saul, he had the facts behind him. "Why do you listen to the words of men who said, 'Indeed, King David seeks you harm'? Why you listen to these people? This day your eyes have seen, because I ain't put no harm to you, that Yah deliver you today into my hands in the cage. I could have did what I wanted to do to you, whatever, so to speak, what he's saying. And someone urged me to kill you, but my eye spared you. And I said, I will not stretch out my hand against Yah, for he is Yah's anointed." Look here. "It was above my pay grade, so to speak. I know what my men are saying, but they don't see the significance of this relationship between you and the Elohim. The Elohim anointed you. That was above my pay grade to put my hand on you, in spite of what my men said in that regard, so to speak. Moreover, my father, see the corner." He apparently had it in his hand. "See the corner of your robe in my hand? For in that, I cut off the corner of your robe if I wanted to do something to you, so to speak, and did not kill you. Now see that there is neither evil, there's no evil nor rebellion in my hand. I have not sinned against you. Yet you hunt my life to take it. Let Yah judge between you and me. Let Yah avenge me on you. I ain't going to put my hand on you. But my hand should not be, I'm not going to raise my hand against you, so to speak. As the proverb of the ancient says." And he sort of put King David, King Saul, in a predicament. And he sort of indicted him. Because this is true. Wickedness proceeds from the wicked. Ain't no wickedness proceeding from me, so to speak. So I ain't wicked. But what's proceeding from you, King? He put him in a predicament. And so, after whom has the king of Israel come out? I mean, what kind of wickedness coming out of you? Why, whom do you pursue? A dead dog? I ain't nothing. A flea? I ain't nothing, so to speak. Therefore, let Yah be judged and judge between you and me. And see and plead my case and deliver me out of your hand. He said, look here, I'm not going to seek vengeance because vengeance is of the Yah. So, I'm going to ask Yah this day, let him judge between you and me. Whatever, whatever. I ain't going to put my hand on you. I'm good with that. Because ain't no wickedness proceeding out of me. It's proceeding out of you, so to speak. So it was, when King David finished speaking these words to King Saul, that King Saul said, "Is this your voice?" And he had an affiliation with King David somewhat at this juncture. "Is this your voice?" when he said, "My son, King David." And King Saul lifted up his voice and went, because he know he did to the wrong. He know what he's doing. Goodness wasn't proceeding from him. He know wickedness wasn't proceeding from King David. And it touched him. It touched him to the effect, only though it was not only superficial, that he cried. That spirit, that evil spirit must have lifted off him. That he was touched by what the words of wisdom that King David had said, "I ain't going to put my hand on you. I'm going to let Yah judge between us. And wickedness proceeded out of the wicked. I ain't did nothing to you." And King Saul knew that King David hadn't did anything to him, in spite of the fact that evil spirit being on him. And it touched him, because words matter. It was when King David had finished speaking these words to King Saul. And King Saul said, "Is this your voice, my son, King David?" And King Saul lifted up his voice and wept. And he said to King David, "You are more righteous," he knew this, "than I am, because of the actions of the individual." And he knew his actions were wicked. He knew King David's actions wasn't wicked. "For you have rewarded me with good, whereas I have rewarded you with evil. You have shown this day how you have dealt with me. For when Yah delivered me into your hand, you did not kill me because he had ample opportunity. But if a man finds his enemy, we let him get away safely. And in your eyes, he said, you must don't see me as an enemy, so to speak. Because would you let him get away? You let me get away. So you don't see me as your enemy. Although I see you as mine. We let him get away safely. Therefore may Yah reward you with good for what you have done to me this day. And now I know indeed that you surely will be king. And the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand. Therefore, swear to me now by Yah that you will not cut off my descendants, which he didn't, after me. That's why he didn't, that man was heckling him when he was leaving the city when Absalom had took over. And the man who was a descendant of King Saul was heckling him. And his commander wanted to put the metal, and his men wanted to hurt the man. King Dawid said, no, don't mess with him. He was a man of integrity. He was a man of his word. That's who you need in charge. You don't need the likes of Donald Trump. You don't need the likes of Joe Biden. You don't need the likes of Netanyahu. You don't need the likes of, what's that guy up in Russia name? What's his name, Katrell? The fellow up in Russia. And so forth. You need a real leader that has commitment to truth and honesty. A good man. Also.
Vladimir Putin.
Yeah, exactly. You don't need the likes of those kinds. Then therefore swear now to me that Yah, by Yah, that you would not cut off my descendants, which he didn't, after me, and that you would not destroy my name for my father's house, which he didn't. So King Dawid swore, a man of integrity. That's what we need to be, men and women of integrity. And he swore to King Saul. And King Saul went home. But King Dawid and his men went up to the stronghold. They didn't go back there. They wasn't no fool now. Just because your enemy said some good stuff, that don't mean nothing. King Saul, King Dawid was waiting on the LOM, what the LOM had to say about the subject matter. And that's what we all be like, King Dawid, in this sense. A man and woman of integrity, a man and woman of their word. A man and woman don't take things by chance and a happenstance. A man and woman that don't believe what people say, but wait on what Yah said in the subject matter. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Brother Cottrell, you have the mic, my brother.
All praise to the Holy One of Yisrael. Such a beautiful lesson. Teaches
exactly.
us a lot about character.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So we wouldn't want our children to be like Donald Trump.
No.
We will more be inclined to raise our children to be like King David. Because King
exactly.
David had every right to kill King Saul, because King Saul was trying to kill him.
Exactly.
What kind of look would that have been?
Mm.
King David killed King Saul. What kind of look would that be?
The optics wouldn't be pretty, okay?
Nah, it would be terrible.
Right.
And vice versa. What if King Saul killed King David?
Exactly.
How would that look?
The optics wouldn't be pretty.
Not at all. And the Most High prevented all that from happening because of the heart of King David. And it shows our people got major flaws, don't we? Because King Saul had major flaws. But guess what?
Exactly.
King David loved him anyway.
Right.
King David
like,
loved King Saul
right.
anyway.
King Dawid,
huh?
Well, King Dawid saw the good. Unlike us, we're so prone to see the bad in people. We don't see the good. We eradicate the good, and we only see the negativity. King Dawid was quite different. He saw the good in spite of the negativity. We see the negativity in spite of the good.
And King Saul, he showed some humanity too. When he
exactly.
cried when he found out that King David spared his life. He's like,
exactly.
yo. I'm crazy. He admitted, I'm crazy. Like, yo, you've been doing me good all this time, and all I've done for you is evil. And it made him cry. A grown man, a king crying. I'm sure that was, like, humiliating. But it was needed at the moment because
exactly.
King David was right. Why should you be pursuing me, trying to kill me, when I've done you no harm, I've done you no evil? And King Saul, he realized, yo, he's one of my people. He's one of my servants, and I'm trying to kill him. Why? I don't know. But he had to confess, right? Exactly. You're going to be the king, my man. You are going to be the king. He finally came to that realization. It's not going to be my son, Prince Jonathan. It's going to be you. And he made an oath and a vow between him and King David that King David would not wipe out his family when he became king. So it's a good thing when we come to the realization about truth, because King Saul could have continued to deny the fact that King David was going to become king and not say what he said. But what he said was very important. He changed his whole mindset and spoke positive words, which was important.
Exactly. Words are important. Thank you, Brother Cottrell. Well, fellow students, if Cottrell is done with his commentary, we certainly are done studying it. And we will proceed to the last segment of study. And yes, Yahoo chapter 25, praise. We just did that, Cottrell. How ironic. Praise to Yah, chapter 25.
We should do that all the time. As long as we're living, give praise to Yah.
Praise Yah.
Because he is the one who gives us the breath of life. It wasn't your mother and father. They didn't plan you. They didn't know you was going to be a boy, how tall you was going to be, how old you was going to live. The Most High knew all of that. He said, I knew you before I placed you in your mother's womb. So we have to connect with our Creator. And in this particular chapter of the book of Yeshayahu, all praise to the Holy One of Yeshua right now, God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who created the prophet Yeshayahu before he placed him in his mother's womb, to give us the message. And here's his prayer. He makes a prayer based on the fact that he knows that destruction is coming to the earth, like we read yesterday.
Praise Yah.
Here's his prayer. O Yah, you are my Elohim. We should make that confirmation every day. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. That's what we got to know, because that's what we were reading. He's talking about Yah made plans in his time from of old, and his time was like way back. So we see the plans of Yah unfolding right before our eyes, and they are faithful and they are sure. For you have made the city a heap, the fortified city a ruin. The foreigner's palace is a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples will glorify you. Cities of ruthless nations will fear you. Not Jesus, not the Son of God. We're talking about peoples and nations fearing the Creator, like they should. For you have been a stronghold to the poor and a stronghold to the needy in his distress, a shelter from the storm and a shade from the heat. For the breath of the ruthless is like a storm against the wall, like heat in a dry place. You subdue the noise of foreigners as heat is by the shade of a cloud. So the song of the ruthless is put down. This is why you have to make Yah your refuge when there's turmoil in the earth, or Yah is bringing judgment in the earth. On this mountain, Yah also will make for all peoples. How many people?
All
people, all nations, a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over the people, the veil that is spread over all nations. This is why they can't see or understand their spirituality or their connection with the Most High, Yamsu, because
exactly.
of his veil. And Yah said he's going to lift that veil, but the nations ain't really ready. They're not really ready, quite ready right now. Because that judgment, that appointed time hasn't come yet. But this is amazing. he says, he will swallow up death forever. Can you imagine that, Nelson?
I can imagine it.
That's a powerful statement. Y'all going to mm-hmm. swallow up death forever? Which means what? Those that man are born are never going to die.
Yeah, man was not intended to die. Adam and Eve was not intended to die.
And y'all will wipe away tears from all faces. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more blues, no more disasters, no more death. That's going to be amazing. You ain't got to worry about funerals. You ain't got to worry about insurance. Yeah. You got insurance, Johnson? Life insurance?
Yeah, I got insurance. Yeah, I got life insurance. I got to worry about it now. Y'all ain't coming back yet.
But, y'all swallows up death forever. You never have to worry about life insurance, that trust.
Mm-hmm.
And the reproach of his people, he will take away from all the earth. So that's where we are right now, a reproach to all the people. That's why they treat us the way they treat us. And we are a reproach to ourselves, aren't we?
Exactly.
That's why you criticize, we criticize our people so hard. Because we're mm-hmm. reproaching the earth as we speak. But the Most High said that's going to be taken away.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't going to be calling us niggas and bitches and hoes and all these negative names anymore. That's mm-hmm. going to be done away with. It will be said on that day, behold, this is your Elohim. Everybody should know that already. We have waited for him. We should be waiting for him, shouldn't we? That he might save us. Who going to save us? Who going to save us?
The Most High.
Nah. The Messiah is going to save us.
What Messiah?
The Messiah.
What Messiah? What Messiah?
Yeah. That's what people say. The Messiah. The Shiach.
Right. People right. say a lot of things, but that don't make it right.
Mm-hmm. What y'all say? No, this is your Elohim. This is our Elohim. We all are connected to him. Ain't nobody got exclusive
access.
Rights on the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We ain't got no monopoly on the Most High. This is our Elohim. Are you waiting for him that he might mm-hmm. save you? I'm waiting for him to save me. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
This is Yah. We have waited for him. What are we supposed to be doing, Yahshua?
Waiting on the Most High.
Wait for him. Not trying to create our own salvation. Because what? Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For the hand of Yah will rest on this mountain. And Moab will be trampled down in its place. As straw is trampled down in a dunghill. Why? Because Moab is occupying our land. And he ain't supposed to be there, right?
Exactly.
And he will spread out his hand in the midst of it as a swimmer spreads his hand out to swim. So they knew how to swim back then. Do you know how to swim? Do we know how to swim? Okay. But Yahweh, I know about your swimming experiences.
Hey, don't start it, Katya. Don't start that. Leave me alone now.
Yes, you're supposed to spread out your hands when you swim. But Yah exactly. lay low his pompous pride together with the skill of his hands. Mm-hmm. And the high fortifications of his wall he will bring down, lay low, and cast to the ground, to the dust. So it doesn't matter what mankind, what nations do. They can't stop the Most High from bringing his judgment and rearranging the earth as he said he would. And we're looking forward to him swallowing up death as we wait for him to bring us salvation. I hope y'all waiting for Yah to bring you salvation and to see his glorious works manifest and even, you know, put us in a place that we've never been before. Because this stuff right here is amazing. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah. These studies, the contrary and I presented to you of the Most High, of his chosen people, of strangers and nations, are not by chance and a happenstance. They are something that you should peel apart like an onion to get the full benefit of our studies, of the Most High studies, layer by layer. See the character of these men and women, to see the character of the Most High. See the character of our enemies, to see the character of different nations, and to find out the antidote to all what ails us so we can get some alleviation and relief from those subject matters. Cartrell and I, we've done our part. Now it's up to you. You can take the Most High word and you can put it in the dresser drawer. You can put it on your mantle. You can put it away any way you want to put it away. But it doesn't change your life in any shape, form, or fashion unless you put it to use. Meaning, meditate on Yah's word. Apply words, Yah's word. Then the activation comes into play. It works only if you work it. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. We love you. May you have a blessed weekend. May the Most High be with you, protect you, and let you understand that he is your refuge in any given situation. That's in the case of King Darwin. He can be that much more for you. But Cartrell is going to make the closing remarks. We finna get ready to get out of here. Praise y'all. Brother Cartrell.
Yeah, you just made me think about King Saul. Because anytime
right.
we think about King Saul, people would throw negative connotations at him.
Right.
King David loved King Saul.
Exactly.
And Amau, we would have killed him, you know, had he been
right.
that to me. But
right.
It shows us that we need to check ourselves before we wreck ourselves, because
right.
King Saul did have some great qualities about him.
Exactly.
And most times people don't acknowledge that about him, that he had great qualities. And
exactly.
in truth, he didn't really ask for the job. He wasn't vying for the job. The job just landed in his lap. And unfortunately, he didn't know how to handle it properly, but he did have some great qualities about it.
Exactly.
So I'm looking at it from King David's perspective, and I think that we should model ourselves after King David in order to learn how to come together as a people. Stop looking
exactly.
at our faults and our fallacies and our flaws and see us for what Yah created us to be. And that's how we will learn to love each other like we're supposed to. So...
I concur with that, Cartrell. Because if you get up
yeah.
in the morning looking at people's fault, you can never see they're good.
Mm. And we look at each other's faults, and we keep a distance because we look at each other's faults. And what I'm saying is that we should look at each other like King David, like King Saul. He didn't want to kill him. He loved him. He tried to make peace with him. And that's what we should be doing with each other. So
right.
we can learn a lot from these lessons, how to conduct ourselves and how to control our spirits. Because King Saul apparently didn't know how to control his ruach, his spirit. And
exactly.
unfortunately for him, he didn't have King Solomon's wisdom to guide him or King David's wisdom to guide him. We do. We could look into their minds and see how they were guided, and we could be guided in the same manner. So
exactly.
we don't have no excuse. At least King Saul had an excuse. So we
right.
give thanks to the Most High for these studies. And may the Most High watch between us while we ask from one from another. And may you be blessed all throughout this week. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah. And Cartrell said a very poignant statement about fixation and focus on someone's fault. We all got them. Let's be honest about that. But if you're fixated and focused on people's fault, you can't see the good of them. What did the book of Proverbs say? Love covers a multitude of faults. If there's true love in you, it'll cover that. But if there's no love in you, like King Dawood had for King Saul, you can only wake up every morning, see that, look at them, don't never see the good at them. Only see the false in them. Praise Yah. Bless his holy name. We're done. May the Most High be with you. Shalom and good night.
I am a human. Now I haven't had suffered for so long. Still the reason for hope keep on holding. a human. Well, I am a child like her. And if you look into my eyes, deep down there's a light. I'm not a Christian, I'm not a Muslim, I'm not a Jew. It shouldn't matter to you. I'm not a capitalist, and I'm not a communist, I'm not a socialist, I'm not the politics. Tell me at least the reasons you can't live right. I am a human, and I haven't had suffered for too long. Still the reasons for hope keep on holding on. I am a human. Yes, I am a child like her. And when you look into my eyes, deep down there's a light. I'm not a soldier, I'm not a jihadist, I'm not a Buddhist, I'm not a Hindu, I'm not a what, I am a who. I'm not black, and I'm not white. Tell me if this is why we fight. I am a human, haven't I suffered for so long? Still the reason for hope, keep on holding on. I am a human, well I am a child like her. And when you look into her eyes, deep down there's a I'm not a Muslim, I'm not a Jew. It shouldn't matter to you. Tell me at least the reason.